Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 10. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I continued reviewing my personal contest training and diet plan for the Hawaiian Natural Muscle Bodybuilding and Fitness Championships, scheduled in Honolulu on June 8, 2013, and that date is looming in the distance. Always wonderful to visit the land of Aloha, my paradise, my mistress. I went through what I call my typical year-round standard diet and discussed what I normally eat, including the supplements I take, and why. Ideally, we should know why we eat the way we do and understand what effects the supplements we take have on our biochemistry, health, and performance. I also touched on the concept of periodization and explained how I divide the year in advance, which is called a macro cycle, into 4 3-month segments or blocks of time called mesocycles. My typical year-round diet is wholesome, fresh, and clean. It is rich in lean, non-denatured protein and plentiful and multicolored, high-water, alkaline-forming fruits and vegetables. My intake of dense carb foods is relatively low because I have a slow metabolic rate. My somatotype is endomorphic. In Ayurvedic medicine, I'm classified as a kapha. So because my metabolic rate is slow, I don't need a lot of fuel. Now here's where we're reminded of the CHI prime directive. Supply your biological demand. Supply the micronutrients, the enzymes, and the fuel that you require. Don't oversupply and don't undersupply. Just like a zoo animal, follow the science. Examples of the types of carb-dense foods I like to eat when I eat them include brown and wild rice, yams, red potatoes with skins, and various forms of peas, beans, lentils, and legumes. These are nutritious foods, but they are low in water volume and tend to be acidic due to cooking and enzyme inactivation caused by exposure to heat. Also, they lose water by cooking them. So if you take a potato and eat it raw, or you can actually juice it, you're going to get a lot more water inside your body than after you cook it, which causes, through convection and changes in the ambient temperature, for the water to come out of the potato into its surrounding environment. So that's why these cooked foods tend to dehydrate us. You need water to hydrolyze, to digest food. And water-rich food has the water in it. It's so simple. On occasion, I also eat a variety of raw nuts and seeds, and things like walnuts, almonds, pumpkin seeds, and sesame seeds. These foods are high in fat, so I tend to eat less of them, but not exclude them completely, as they are good sources of EFAs, polyphenols, plant sterols, and fat-soluble micronutrients. Protein is definitely my anchor. It stabilizes my mind and body, and of course, it's my only source of dietary nitrogen, the big N, as I have called it. Without sufficient nitrogen, which must be equal to what we lose every day, we can't recover effectively, heal damaged muscle fibers, or grow new satellite cells. As the stress of preparing for competition increases, I personally find it necessary to increase my daily intake of protein, especially as I decrease my intake of carbs and fats to force the beta oxidation of stored body fat. So let's finish up this four-part series on my contest training and diet for the Mr. Hawaii competition. As of this date, October the 10th, 2012, I'm in my second mesocycle. My last workout was day two. I trained chest. After a good warm-up, I performed four sets of barbell bench press for a target rep range of 6 reps per set. The weight is medium heavy. Bench press was followed by 2 sets of hammer strength incline presses, 2 sets of pec deck flies, and 2 sets of dumbbell pullovers. After some core training, I went outside and performed 6 15-meter wind sprints in barefoot on grass. Once again, I experienced that incredible and beautiful natural feeling of aerobic intensity and lung volume expansion. There's just nothing in the world like sprinting on grass or on a beach beside the ocean, especially in bare feet. What I love is the feeling of elation I get just after running the sprints, as well as the massive health impact I receive in relation to such a small investment of time. You see, sprinting raises my heart rate right through the roof, and this effect of controlled biological stress is what provides all of the health benefits. Including a brief warm-up run at roughly 50% of my sprint pace, the entire process took maybe 10 minutes. Of course, after that, I headed back to the gym and completed my workout with a full body stretch on the floor. A video of my full stretch routine is available on Chi TV. Just Google Corey Hawley pre-workout warm-up. So let's go through my 100 days out diet in greater detail now that you know what my typical year-round diet is like. So beginning March the 1st, 2013, I officially will begin dieting for the show, and it goes something like this. Okay, March the 1st is day 100, and for the next 30 days, here's my routine. I work out on a regular basis according to my regular daily plan. So the 5 days per week, 5 steps to health workout strategy. You know, during this time and prior to this, I've been training heavy and then getting lighter to medium heavy and then to medium and to light. So I'm increasing volume, sets and reps, decreasing the amount of weight, forcing my body to burn fat without actually dieting, just by changing the volume of the training. Now, I increase my evening walk from 20 minutes to 30 minutes, so that's an increase in energy expenditure. I also cut out starchy carbs if I do eat them after an evening meal. So no more rice, no more yams, no more potatoes, whatever Tracy has, whatever I normally would eat, with my evening meal, with my steamed veggies and my big salad, my protein. There's another way to decrease my intake of carbs and start the fat burning process in motion. I like to have beer, and 1 or 2 days a week is allowed during this process, but it's only beer, and I drink the micro brewed beers, the natural beers. Local beers are great. There's nothing like having a cold beer on a hot day or sitting around with buddies and drinking a beer and shooting the ship. Okay, so for 30 days, I follow that routine. Now, on day 69, and for the next 30 days, up to day 39, I cut out carbs that I normally take after my post-workout shake. So normally, you know, having that post-workout shake, you want to try and fill the glycogen stores and bring back the carbs along with the protein. Another way that I reduce my intake of carbs is stop doing that. Now, I also stopped eating red meat. Red meat is high in fat, especially feedlot, calf-generated red meat. I'm not talking buffalo and antelope. Most red meat that people eat is extremely high in fat. So I avoid red meat completely, even the round, even the flank. And I only use turkey breast, chicken breast, and white fish. I avoid anything that has more than 20% fat. You can calculate that. You can go online. You can see all the different kinds of meats that are out there. And most of them are pretty high in fat because that's what flesh has. Tissue protein sustains us with amino acids and proteins and fat and saturated fat. There's no carbs in flesh. I also increase my intake of protein by 20%. That raises my metabolic rate, stabilizes my blood sugar level, keeps my mind sharp. I reduce my alcohol intake to once per week now, just usually on the weekend if I have some friends over, Tracy and I are sitting around. Again, my consciousness is dieting for the show, so it's no big deal. I'm just cutting back in a controlled fashion, doing this gradually. I work out my regular daily workout, and I now start practicing my mandatory poses. So there's about six poses, things like front double biceps and rear double biceps and side chest and a front ab pose. And you stand in front of a mirror and you hold those and you hold them for as long as you can. And that is really tough and it really squeezes the fat out. It really brings the lines out. And also it gets you into the headspace of actually starting to think and act and look like a bodybuilder. Okay, so from day 69 to day 39, 30 days. On day 38 and for 23 days up to day 15, I cut out the salad dressing oil and vegetable dip that I normally use to dip my raw vegetables in. The salad dressing oil is extra virgin olive oil. So I make an attempt to avoid all dressings and only use like lemon juice or balsamic vinegar. I don't use any dairy now, no dairy allowed, no ghee, no feta. I don't eat a lot of dairy normally anyway. I certainly don't drink milk. On occasion, I might have some plain yogurt. I might mix some honey with some frozen blueberries in there for a snack, or maybe have some feta on a spinach salad. But now, none of that. And now I begin the dry phase. The prohibition days are back again. No alcohol. Okay, that's a choice. I can drink whatever amount I want, but I choose not to, and I'm going to have fun not doing it because I'm focusing now on getting really, really close to being up on stage with just my birthday suit and a pair of underwear on. Okay, so I'm going to think about all those people looking at my body practically naked, and I got to look good. That's what bodybuilding is all about. It's about what you look like, not like the hammer, how far you throw it, and you can be fat under that tracksuit and still win the championship because you threw it further. But that does not work in bodybuilding. You've got to look the part. It's all about what you look like. I have my regular daily workout still, more volume, more sets and reps. I went through that in detail in some of the previous parts of this series. Now at nighttime, I start to walk up and down stairs with high knees for 30 minutes at a medium pace. I put the iPod on. I blast the music. And I'm just going up and down, up and down. And that really helps split the thighs, those quads, those lines between the vastus lateralis and medialis really start to come out. And the months and months previous with the squatting, the deep Smith squats, that's all going to come out now. I'm starting to peel down, peel the onion skins off. At nighttime, I also practice mandatory poses for about 30 minutes. And I'm telling you, that is tough. Because you're starting to get tired now, your carb intake is low, and you're feeling like, what am I doing this for? And that's why you got to stay focused on the goal and continuously remind yourself by reading, by listening, by association with what you're doing and why, and you know it's going to be a very, very positive experience. On day 14 to 5, which is 10 days, here's where the fun begins. This is no shakes, no fruit, no vegetables, no carbs. Absolutely no carbs of any kind. I eat 8 to 10 small meals throughout the day of tuna sashimi or whitefish mixed with egg whites. Tracy also will cook a whole turkey and put it in the fridge, and I'll just attack that throughout the day. If I wake up in the middle of the night starving, I'll just grab a chicken leg and eat it. So I can eat as much flesh as I want, but no red meat. I could also have lemon juice and spices to make things taste a little bit better, not so dry. And here's where I begin a new training routine, a double split, which is two workouts a day. So whatever I would normally be doing in one workout, I divide it in half, and now I'm going to be training 6 days a week. And this is a different routine where I have traps and forearms and calves in one workout, and I'm training my legs and training my whole body more frequently, and it's just like, you know, really attacking the body. It's definitely overtraining. It's like a triathlete preparing for an Ironman. definitely in the overtraining mode, under supplying, no fuel coming in at all, just protein, and I'm motoring on that. I'm generating more waste. I've got to stay well hydrated. I've got to keep that water up. I increase my exercise volume, of course, by increasing reps and sets. I'm training relatively light, not too heavy. I don't want to get injured now. All that work for nothing. And then I'm still doing my wind sprints after my morning workout. So two workouts a day, and then after my morning workout, I'm on the grass or on the treadmill, and I'm sprinting. And that, again, just peels the fat down like you wouldn't believe. Keeps the growth hormone up and the testosterone reactive in the blood. And again, practicing my mandatory poses and my routine. I've got a routine now that I'm practicing, and practice makes permanent, just like the great athletes, the great dancers, and the great actors. It's all about practicing for the event. Now, here's an important tip. I think it's quite important. During this crazy time of eating zero carbs combined with a high volume of physical activity, I increase my intake of pantothenic acid, which is vitamin B5, from 2 grams a day, which is what I normally take, to 10 grams or more, taken in 4 divided doses of 2,500 milligrams on an empty stomach between meals. I use the powder form, and I mix it in water, and I just down the hatch throughout the day. In research and clinical application with his obese patients, Dr. L.H. Lung proved that lipid catabolism or lipolysis is significantly enhanced when B5 is taken in such large quantities during a low-carb diet that creates ketosis. Well, that's exactly the kind of diet I'll be on. So Lung found that adding 10 grams of pantothenic acid to a calorie-restricted modified diet eliminates hunger, physical weakness, cravings, and prevents the formation of ketone bodies without any side effects. The ability to burn fat stores efficiently when dieting decreases over time and leads to the depletion of glycogen stores. When the glycogen is down, that's when you start burning fat, and you've got to protect your muscle. That's why you eat more protein and keep weight training. In my case, that's the goal. Get the glycogen down. Operate mentally and physically without glycogen in the tank, like an empty tank. It's very tough, but it's quite challenging and rewarding. Complete depletion of glycogen. However, as the body continues to oxidize fat for fuel, ketone bodies begin to appear in the bloodstream and urine. Over time, the ability to metabolize stored fat weakens, and most people will start to feel hungry and show symptoms of weakness, dizziness, and sweating. So people have this negative impression about ketosis, and I think it's because, unlike the past, we don't have a life history of eating whole natural foods. I mean, let's think of it. The North American Indians spend half their life in ketosis, if not 75% of it. They had very little intake of carbs, berries, and roots, and lived primarily on buffalo flesh. So they had to be living permanently in a state of ketosis, and they survived and thrived and were quite well off as a consequence of not having that high intake of refined carbohydrate. Now, as the mechanism of fat burning forced through a voluntary calorie deficit begins to fail, ketone bodies will appear. Dr. Lung believes that the presence of ketone bodies reflects the deficiency of pantothenic acid, which of course is essential. Now, I did devote an entire SNU to pantothenic acid. So if you go to CoreyHawley.com and click SNU, you can just surf around there, or you can actually in the search engine just punch in pantothenic acid and find that particular volume and number. So pantothenic acid, don't leave home without it. It's very safe. It's water-soluble like vitamin C, and that's why it's best to take it in small divided doses throughout the day. It keeps the blood saturated constantly, and hey, during this time, if you can reduce cravings and the irritability that a lot of people experience, it'll save your marriage. Okay, after the 10 days of the grueling, zero-carb, increased volume of training is over, now the fun begins and it's time to carb up. And I'm telling you, the night that you begin this, it's like something you've never experienced. You paid the price, and now you get to reward yourself. Just start porking down those carbs. I begin carving up on the night of day 4 and continue throughout the next 3 days with manna bread, figs, dates, yams, brown rice, and whole grain pasta. If it's in liquid form, it's better. It's absorbed faster. And what happens is the muscles swell up, the veins and the arteries swell up, and that's the purpose, is to push the muscle cells, the myocytes, out through the thin skin. They swell up with water and glycogen and potassium. That's where the value is also, the potassium-rich natural foods, which is not in the refined dead stuff. And of course, my water intake is not absurdly low, but it will be a bit low just before the show, because I want to make sure that I don't have any edema and ruin the effect. You want the water to be all inside the cell, not outside the cell. And edema is when the water builds up excessively outside of the cell. Now, I also eat small meals. I don't want to ruin my gut. I want that gut to be nice and tight, really narrow and slim, those crater abs coming through. My protein shakes are back online. They're lower in protein, they're higher in carb, there's no oil. My workout intensity is light to medium. I'm training kind of lightly, and then the day before the show, there's no workout. I know some people that don't work out for 2 or 3 days before the show. They just diet and take it easy and rest so that they're fresh for the workout experience of posing on the platform on the show, which is very stressful mentally and emotionally. Of course, all the way through this, I'm practicing my mandatory poses and posing routine. Now, I want to talk about this muscle primer mix. I mix 50 milliliters of glycerol with 12 ounces of water, 4 ounces of red wine, and 1 serving of a high-performance creatine high-glycemic carbohydrate powder mix. That equates to about 5 grams of creatine and maybe 20 to 40 grams of high-glycemic carbs. For some reason, pure food-grade liquid glycerol or glycerin by the bottle is no longer available. Twin Lab used to sell it, but it's hard to find. So you can substitute what cyclists and marathon runners use during long rides. They squeeze glycerol out from a small pack or a tube right into their mouth. It comes out as a gel, and it's mixed with dextrin, which is a high glycemic carb derived from wheat or corn. Now, I consume this potion the night before a photo shoot, which is usually 1 week before the show. I make reservations with my friend Tonino, who is a professional photographer with a ton of experience shooting male and female physiques, in his studio in Vancouver. His website is Tonino Guzzo, TONINOGUZZO.com. So if you are looking for a good photographer and some photo shots of your physique for your website or pre-competition, I would highly recommend Tonino. Of course, I also take the muscle primer mix the night before the actual competition, once at night before the morning of the show, and once again just before pumping up backstage for the pre-judging on the day of the event. I find this liquid potion really helps make me look more muscular and vascular, as it helps drive water and fluid into my veins and arteries, causing them to swell up around and on the surface of my skin. It has the same effect on my muscle cells and also helps keep my energy levels up. You can download a copy of my entire contest diet directly from my website. Just log on to CoreyHawley.com, click the articles link at the top of the page, then under nutrition, look for Corey's Diet Plan 100 Days Out. In competitive bodybuilding, timing is everything. The whole idea is to show up on contest day with extremely thin skin, very low body fat, and as much muscle as possible spread evenly and symmetrically across your entire body. If you have that, then the next challenge relates to how you present it on stage, and this is where Tracy comes in. She's an excellent choreographer with her dancing background. She has a special eye. She chooses my music and helps me design my posing routine so that in sync and on time, my body moves just the right way, so it all comes together on that special day. In Hawaii, in paradise, aloha. hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from a 1939 speech given to the physics department at Princeton by Dr. Albert Einstein. You have to exercise for a week just to work off the thigh fat from one single Snickers.